Woop, woop, woop.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everyone.
Hi.
It's debrief time and it's D's debrief. Debrief is how I'm saying. Yeah. I loved that chat. That was so great. I'm so glad that I've now finally met D, because I feel like I've just been aware of them and their work for ages now. And they've been on my list of people I wanted to get on the podcast. So that's why I love doing this podcast, honestly, because it's just an excuse to
have some good chats with
meet people. Make for connections, sure. Make friends. I really liked that chat. I wanted to get in more about their MA and that side of things, but I'm not sure how. Maybe there'll be lots of people who are interested in that, but I was just like, maybe not. Who knows? I was interested. I got excited about it.
I think that point about, you just can't really trust history because you don't really know. That point about someone might have been recorded as being gender diverse, but is it actually that they're trying to disguise as a gender that then allows them opportunities that they didn't have because of sexism or because of homophobia and being able to be in a relationship with someone of
there's so much cross-dressing in Shakespeare is what I always think about, and I'm just like,
Mulan,
what's actually going here? Mulan. When I was at uni, I did a module on the history of homosexuality, and that was the first time I'd encountered that idea of, especially because when it comes to studying the history of homosexuality, if you go way back, the only records that one were made and then were kept and have survived are often court records of people being tried for fraud, which is often presumably women dressing up as men in order to get access to money, jobs, positions of power, whatever it might be. And so they're being tried for fraud. What is it? Are they just a woman who wants to access these things that she can't get if as a woman? Or is this person a trans man? Are they a lesbian? Honestly, we just don't know. But and the thing is, the annoying thing is that for most LGBTQ plus people in the past, most of the records that we have are about punishment and are about the church or the judicial system, the state or whatever, clamping down on those people. There's very rarely anything from those people themselves. That's why people go mad for Anne Lister's diaries. Absolutely mad for him.
Yeah, and that's, we're lucky that we live in a country where it's not illegal anymore, but that is still the case. But I don't think that would be it's not a very affirming access of history that your identity is only ever framed as what you're doing is illegal or something wrong.
Or a sin. There's lots of that. We talked about so much else. I'm trying to now remember, even though it literally just happened. I loved a lot of the stuff about go on. I want to know what you think.
What were you going to say?
Just I feel we got into a real, I don't know. It felt to me a gossip sesh. I don't know why. That was the vibe I was really feeling. I was just this thing and this experience and this thing. I don't know. I don't know if it sounded like that, but that's how I was personally experiencing it. I just felt like a good natter about gender and sexuality and be like, ooh, what about this and this?
Yeah. I found what Dee was talking about with regards to their sort of transitioning of identity whilst already being in a relationship really interesting. And it made me think, I just finished reading Conversations in Love, which is this great book by Natasha Lunn. And it's lots of different essays of conversations with different people about all different types of love and stages of love and platonic, friendship, partnerhood, romantic, all that. And there was one essay talking about how when you are married to someone, you have like, you're almost having to remarry the person you're with because you change so much and your relationship changes so much. Yeah. And whilst like this was different and obviously very specifically about your gender identity changing, and with that the names and words that you want used and don't want used, it just made me think about how that is something that also probably everyone has to experience in a various form in relationship, where you're like, I've changed, or how I feel about that changes, or I don't enjoy that anymore, or, you know, and I'm sure even like within you having become parents, like maybe there's words or touch or something that doesn't resonate with you like it did, or maybe you need something else. You know what I mean?
So for sure, the terms mummy and daddy have a different meaning now. I'll just say that.
I actually feel like one of my best friends has just become a dad, and so I'm like, oh, like daddy, and then I use his name, like, and I'm like, it just now feels really like it, daddy has really become appropriated.
Dad and I would use those terms with each other like almost in a jokey way, but like in a jokey sexy way. And now we just, that's how we refer to each other. Like when Rowan's in the room and we're like talking about each other to anyway, this is a massive tangent. but the whole thing, what you're saying about like remarrying when you change in a relationship, reminds me of in Esther Perel's TED talk that's about infidelity, where she says most of us have two or three major relationships in our lives.
Yeah.
But maybe for you, they're all with the same person.
Yeah.
But they are like actually distinctly different relationships, even though the same people are involved. Yeah. And that could be the case for people who stay together after somebody has transitioned, or like when somebody has like gone on a gender journey.
And it really taps into this element of, I think for a long-term relationship to work, you can't hold on to your notion of who your partner is when you first met them, or who you want them to be necessarily, because then first of all, people do change, and if you're not okay with that change, like, are you allowing your partner to be themselves and explore who that is? And at the same time, within a relationship, you also like know what works for you and what you want and what you do want out of your relationship. And it's like that quite complex element of staying true to what you want, but also allowing for change and allowing for your partner to explore themselves, and whether that's like the work they want to do or where they want to live, or whether it's like their sexuality or gender diversity. Do you know what I mean? Like you sort of always need to have that element. And I think often when relationships don't work is when your partner can't come on that journey and change with you. Whether that's like, I don't feel like I can accept your gender identity, or I don't feel like I can affirm it, or whether it's someone's like, I don't want to move to New York. It's like, but
yeah
that's just what made me think of
it. Is a tricky one, because I feel like it just really reminded me of that storyline in Sex Education with Cal and Jackson, and how clearly like we meet Cal when they're already very secure, or at least seemingly very secure, or in their own gender. And so when Jackson isn't ready to kind of see them as non-binary, they're just like, peace. They're just like, you're not ready. You're not at my level yet. But also, I just don't think that's Jackson's fault either. I just, you know, there's he's not ready to let go of his identity as a heterosexual man. Mm. And like, you know, maybe he will in the future, but at that point in time, he's not. But I don't know. Part of me just wishes that we were all very fluid from the beginning.
Would be great. Would be so great. Although we probably wouldn't have a job anymore.
Oh, good point. Let's keep the patriarchy and
let home. Smash let's. It.
Yeah. So I have a job. That would be great. No.
But yeah, with like Cal, it's not just also like you're not on my level. It's also about like I don't want to go back to that place where I don't feel affirmed. Like
yeah.
I've seen that storyline a few times where someone is maybe queer or. Yeah, like Cal being non-binary and then someone they're romantically involved with doesn't know who they are or can't accept who they are or doesn't feel comfortable or wants to be like secret about everything. And there was a storyline in the Sex Lives of College Girls, which is like a mixed feelings show but kind of fun, where someone's like, I don't want to be secret about being in a lesbian dynamic because it makes me feel like I'm going back to hiding my identity.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't feel comfortable with that. I don't know what the point was, but just yeah, just like it can be really hard when you're in different stages of understanding and feeling affirmed in your identity, and then being in that intimacy with someone who's in a different space to you, that's also going to impact and maybe bring up difficult stuff for you. It's challenging. It's challenging.
This is reminding me of more like fictional stories that I now can't remember. Maybe it's Sex Education again. Maybe it's like Eric and Adam, and Adam not ready to be out.
Yeah,
I can't remember now. One of the things I also wanted to let our lovely patrons know about was that one thing that I didn't get around to asking Dee about was kind of like specifically around their dissertation. For their MA, because it was about, at least what I think it was about the new RSHE guidance, so relationship, sex and health education guidance in the, oh, not in the UK, in England and Wales, I think.
Sorry, Scotland.
I think Scotland might actually be, yeah. I was like, I think they might be fine. I'm not entirely sure. I know that there's some Scottish patrons, so like, let us know what your situation is. But I kind of think you might be ahead of us.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, their dissertation was about like queer, trans, and non-binary. Well, the lack of inclusion in sex education. I think it was about like how the RSE guidance like lets trans and non-binary people down. And I'm sure Dee will have spoken about that more on like their Instagram and stuff. I'm sad we didn't get a chance to ask about that, but like I just wanted to let you guys know that that exists. So if you wanted to learn more, I'm sure there's stuff on their Instagram.
Could be a cool video to review.
The whole they're just like reacting to the RSE guys.
Yeah, I mean, like, I feel like cool. We're like
I feel like that, I don't know, would that be boring? So when it first came out, we did a podcast episode with Lisa, oh my god, what's her surname, Halgarten or something, she works at Brook. And so before we recorded that episode, she like took another look at the guidance, like obviously it's her job like to look at all of that kind of stuff. But she took another look at it and she did some like keyword searches in it, and she was like, the term pleasure doesn't come up once in it.
That's crazy.
Yeah So yeah, maybe there's something that we could do there. I haven't read the whole thing, I've skimmed it. And I've like seen, and I've like read like specific parts of it that other sex educators have kind of like pulled out for examination, but I've not like read the entire thing. Perhaps.
How dare you?
No, I know. I mean, if I ever went into schools or if I was a teacher in the education industry, I feel weird calling it field.
But yeah, no, I thought Dee was great, and I really liked what they said about how labels can be really important and really affirming for people, but also it can be stressful or constrictive and just like to sort of put as much importance on labels as you want.
And I also feel like some people are really indifferent to labels. And I'm not just talking about like straight cis people. Like, I definitely know people who, like, if you really pushed them, they would identify with some sort of queer label, but they just also just don't care.
Yeah, this has come up in school. So patrons, if you don't know, I'm training to be a sex and relationship psychotherapist. And there's quite a few people who are non-binary. And then there's also quite a few people who identify as cis women and are sort of slightly older. And in our sort of sharing groups, they've expressed like real anxiety about getting people's pronouns wrong. And like clearly really, really anxious about it. And most of the non-binary people are like, it's okay. Like, like, I'd really appreciate if you try, but like, it's also okay. And I'm not saying that like everyone who's non-binary should be relaxed about being mispronounced. Absolutely not. We still make the effort. But yeah, like sometimes people who might not have sort of against the grain experiences with pronouns might also be more anxious and worried about it than people who are non-binary and use diverse pronouns are.
Yeah, but also like the way that you get used to it is just by doing it all the time, and you are going to make mistakes, but then the more that you do it, like the more just like normal it will become, and so then the less mistakes will be made. But if you're still at the starting line of like, I can't even start because I'm scared I'm gonna make a mistake, then yeah, you will make mistakes.
Totally. Yeah. And like initially when people were crying, I was like, uh-oh, is this one of those situations where it's like cis tears or something? But actually people who were non-binary who responded were just like really grateful that these people cared so much and were like, thanks just for caring and making an effort. Because yeah, if it is different for people, especially people with an older generation, like just making that effort is so important, and it's just the starting point. As you say, it takes practice.
There's a lot, especially if they're like older as well, then it's like a lot of years of unlearning. Like my granny would get so confused every time I referenced Rowan as a fetus with they them pronouns, because she'd be like, you're carrying twins? I'm like, no. She got very confused, but I managed to sort of get it in her head. Like, I basically tried to use sentences that weren't about gender, that weren't referencing a non-binary person, that used the singular they, and that be grammatically correct, like in a way that she would in her day-to-day life. And I was like, see, look, they has always been. Anyway, that's a whole other thing. But yeah, thank you, Mia.
Thank you,
honey. Thank you, patrons, for listening. Hope you enjoyed this. La 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 la. Feels weird that we're recording lots of these before you're ever gonna hear them.
Yeah.
So we're not getting that like instant feedback thing. These are just gonna sit on my drive for months, and then
we're just gonna eventually talk longer and longer each time.
No, like, I don't have the time. I do not have the time. I'm gonna keep these short, snappy debriefs. All right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.